Welcome to the God in the Ordinary podcast, an interview show for believers looking for encouragement in how to reveal God in their everyday. Your host, singer-songwriter Sharon Tedford.
My guest this week encourages people to flourish in all they are meant to be as they discover good mental health patterns. She's keen to help us recognise all that God has for us, relationships, wholeness and hope. My guest, mental health counsellor Tina Yeager. Tina, thanks so much for joining us from your home. It's lovely to have you with us. Tell us where you are and what you do in your days.
I am in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, and I am a life coach. So some days I spend actually doing coaching virtually on Zoom or Skype. I'm also an author, so some of my days are spent creating words to inspire and help people heal and find their way to become the heroes of their stories through words. And I'm also a podcast and radio show host. So some days I am interviewing people, experts, to help inspire others to live their best. And some days I'm doing my solo show for Christian radio, where I'm recording my voice and giving people tips on how to live their best. So I do quite a number of things with my days. It's so glad to be here with you today, Sharon.
Thanks for joining us. I bet you never get bored, Tina.
No, quite the opposite. But I like to take some personal margin time now and then because I think that's healthy.
There speaks the life coach, everybody. Tina, as you know, we love to have our guests share their reflection on Isaiah 61. And we'd love for you to share what you have for us.
Of course, I would love to, Sharon. Thank you. Isaiah 61, verses 1, 3, and 10 says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, as a bride adorns herself with her jewels." My little girl heart once believed in fairy tales. As the outcast among my peers, I related to the orphan stepchild whose sisters left her in the ashes. Cinderella accepted her slanderous title, and so did I. Like her, I felt doomed to live in the dirt, even though my soul dreamed of something greater. The storybook tale led its heroine through a magical transformation. Neither she nor anyone else had seen the extraordinary beauty that now radiated from her. My childhood Shiro rose from hopelessness to a position of royalty. Her story's timeless promise called to my young soul. I too yearn to live happily in love ever after. In my failed pursuit of happiness, I lost my faith in fairy tales. I sought approval from a world of stepsisters who refused to remain satisfied. I met charming suitors who fell short of nobility. Slanderous thoughts darkened the doorways of my mind and relegated me to stay in the ashes. My little girl dreams lay strewn in a sooty mess of despair. At the death of my ever-after wishes, I shuffled in rags along a gutter and asked the king to end my life. Instead of relegating me to the dust, he transformed me. Jesus traded my ashes for his noble crown. He exchanged my rags of shame and despair for garments of salvation and righteousness. I praise the Lord for his grace in raising me up from the cinders of hopelessness. My gratitude abounds for the presence of his Holy Spirit, an ageless radiance designed to exude blessings from within me. The King of Kings has bejeweled my soul with gifts to share. Jesus authored a faith story for me that transcends fairy tales. I feel compelled to proclaim this true promise to all the poor little girl souls, those who remain in the ash heaps, those who have sought the wrong sources of happiness as I once did. I must share the truth Our childhood dreams of everlasting love await at the end of extended, nail-scarred hands of a king.
That was great, Tina. Thank you. I love the phrase you just used that said, my failed pursuit of happiness. That really resonated with me. I think we've all been there at some point. So when we meet others who are stuck in that failing pursuit of happiness, what's a great way to start revealing God to them? How do we even begin?
We first need to recognize there is no happiness in the world or our circumstances or in relationships that will continually give us joy. Joy and happiness are two separate things. Seeking the joy of the Lord that can be our strength, even when our circumstances or our mental health state are not experiencing happiness, is the key to that. We need to recognize that true joy comes from the one who gave us life and continually connects us with his source of life, his source of power, his source of hope, and his source of strength. That's where our faith and our reason to move on comes from. That's why we get up every day. That's why we love others when they're not lovable. That's why we pursue ministry when it gets defeating and discouraging from just looking at the circumstances and the results.
That's helpful. So when we meet people who are feeling where we once were, how can we help draw them towards hope?
I would first help them to know that they are loved. You always meet somebody with empathy and with love. You hear their heart and you tell them that their story matters. It matters to you, first of all, because they can see you and touch you. And then you can share with them, once they hear that you care, that they matter to God. And that their heart matters to God, and there is a hope, and there is a new life ahead of them, and it's more than this. So that would be the first step, meeting them where they are with empathy and seeing them with the love and the grace of God and seeing them how God sees them, and then also kind of giving that piece of hope to them, just reaching out and saying, there's more than this, and you are loved, and you are worth that next step to get out of this pit and on toward healing and beginning to fulfill a purpose. They need to know that they have purpose, and it's not just about this thing that has failed, this last piece of their life, this moment, this circumstance. Too often, we get so zeroed in on the past and our present failures and miseries.
That's really helpful. So as we see people on a day-to-day basis, maybe we are building relationship with them. Obviously, you've just given us a really good way to kind of enter into the conversation, particularly using the word purpose. I love that. But as we build relationship with people who don't yet know Jesus, how can we continue to encourage them? You know, you talk about people who are worn out, damaged, cast off, or worthless. That can be hard for us too, because that can be draining.
Yes, if we're in relationships with people who are lost and they feel worn out and discouraged, it can be draining if you don't also surround yourself with a fellowship of healthy believers that's helping encourage you and fill you up on the other side of that. But in those relationships where you're ministering to people who are lost and broken, you want to make sure that you are doing some things that aren't just serious. If you play with people, that is where you build relationships. So that's one thing. Do some cheerful conversations. Listen to what is of importance to them and show them respect. Come to them with a strength-based approach and talk to them about what you see in them that is good, what you see in them that was created by God and that has potential, and build on that. Help them to see that there's more available for them, one step at a time, one piece of encouragement at a time. You don't want to come on too strong either and just dump it all in each conversation. Make sure you're kind of feeding that in and just kind of seeding that as you go and watering it a little by little into that relationship and weaving it with times of play and times of joy and times of laughter.
Can you give us some examples of times of play? Because I think you're not really talking about, you know, going out and doing hide and seek as grown-ups. Although I guess if that's what you want to do, you could do that in the forest.
Doing things that are life-giving, fun activities. If you are going out for coffee together, if you're going shopping together, if you're crafting together, if you're hiking together, our life group that just started this week at our new church that we just started going to has done a game night. to kind of help us get to know each other and build relationship before we delve into any kind of Bible study or devotional time. So that's really good because it gets people comfortable with each other so that when we're ready to get into those places where we need prayer, we feel comfortable already in those relationships about sharing our hearts.
That's really helpful. Thank you. Because play is actually something that we all do without knowing. We might share a joke with somebody or just enjoy their company. As you say, having coffee isn't really going to be the most important thing you do on your day unless that conversation leads to something deep. So we need to be able to think about the lighter parts of our faith as well. Over the last years, we've probably all met someone who is actually stuck in loneliness. I know that you're really good at helping us with that, Tina. What are the steps that we can bring to somebody else to help them overcome loneliness?
We need to help people recognize that they are needed. And in that, reaching out with love and helping them realize they have something to offer, that gives them a motivation to overcome their loneliness. People won't come out of isolation just to help themselves feel better, but they might if they are needed in the world, if someone needs something from them. So helping bring them in through giving them an opportunity to join in a prayer circle, helping them join a craft circle where they can say, maybe make some quilts or blankets for orphans or for homeless people, or help put together some meals for the elderly that are shut in. Whatever it is that they are able to do, helping them participate and use the gifts that God has given them to bless other people is a tremendous way to help people overcome loneliness and isolation.
Those are really good tips. Thank you. So the flip side of that is that there are people like me who actually really love to be on my own. It's a good way to have soul recharge for me, time alone. But I know that sometimes solitude can tip into toxicity. So how can we notice that toxicity in ourselves or maybe in others when it's gone away from healthy recharge to toxic solitude? How can we share Jesus with our friends who might be stuck in that today?
I have noticed that too after the pandemic. It's easy to stay isolated. And if you're a creative, and you and I are creatives that work from home, it's easy to get even more isolated when you get used to being isolated. And then it's more than just being introverted. I mean, there's a thing for introverts to make sure that they have their alone time to recharge. But you don't want to be so alone for so long that you begin to build walls. And when you find that you're becoming guarded and you're seeing other people with an us and them, I'm protecting my space attitude, that is when it's becoming toxic. If you are failing to reach out to other people, that's when you're starting to become more of a septic waterway instead of a viaduct. We should all as Christians be viaducts of the living water of Jesus, receiving from him in the flow that you need. Whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, there is a certain amount and balance for each individual, how much time you need to spend alone to receive that love, that grace, that truth, that Holy Spirit anointing and power. But we don't just keep it as a cistern and hold it, because that is water that gets stagnant and toxic. If we are Christians and that water is to stay living, it has to flow through us and towards others. If you are continually blessing other people and you are not taking time to draw back like Jesus did. Jesus did this too. He took time by himself to pray, but he didn't stay by himself. So it's important to know that balance.
That's a really helpful picture, not being a septic waterway, but being life flowing water. Thank you for sharing that. That's going to stick with me. Now, let's just take a slight sidestep here. I've been thinking about how in society we all bump up against competition in various forms and ways. And I know this is something that you talk about, Tina. I wonder if you could help us to think about, as Christians, how competitiveness can be a healthy foundation for our lives, and how does it help us to reveal Jesus to others? Is there perhaps a better way over competition? Is that really the best way for us to be following our careers and our friendships through competitiveness, or does Jesus give us a different way?
I would say that the world gives us that idea that competition drives excellence, and we can have a drive for excellence out of a love for wanting to present our best to our God who has given us his best, instead of out of trying to do better than others by comparing ourselves to others. We don't want to get into a pattern of looking to our left or to our right to determine whether we are on the right track, because that actually slows us down. If you look at runners, runners are told that they need to stay in their own lane, because if they look at the runner to the right or the left, they will slow down and fall back. They are meant to stay in their lane, to focus on the finish line. And that's what God tells us to do, to stay focused on him and the call that he has put on our lives. We still try to do our best and go with excellence, but we are not meant to compare our pursuit to our neighbor's pursuit. They will have a different calling. And competition can get us to see our neighbors as our enemies. The Lord wants us to be in collaboration instead of competition. He has created the kingdom of God like an orchestra. You might be a violin, but someone else might have a different tone to their violin. And you are meant to work in harmony with one another, along with all the other sections of the orchestra, with completely different instruments. We will not have a full musical scale to glorify God unless we learn to work in collaboration and harmony instead of in competition with the other members of this orchestra. Can you imagine how a competitive orchestra would sound in the end?
You know that analogy lights my musical fire. That's a really good picture. So it sounds to me a little bit like you might be talking about humility. Is that what you're saying?
Humility means thinking of others more than you think about yourself, not thinking less of yourself. So we need to remember that humility isn't about putting yourself down. It's about putting God up and remembering he has gifted you with a special gift that matters. But he's also gifted everyone else with a special gift that matters too. So when we build each other up, we're actually building up the purposes of God together. And other people around us should be building us up too. So it's a collaborative effort. And yes, it is that Christ-centered humility. It's not the same as shame or humiliation. Sometimes people get that confused.
Talk to us a little bit more about that. What do you mean by that? It's not the same as shame and humiliation. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Well, often people will do false humility. They will say, oh, I'm nothing. And they think they're being humble. But really, that's saying to your creator, you made nothing. And that is not about humility. That's about insulting the one that created you. And that isn't good. We need to remember that everything that God has made is good. All that your works are wonderful, Psalm 139 says. And that includes us. And that was what that psalm was about how perfectly and wonderfully and carefully God made each and every one of us. You matter to God, but you don't matter more to him than your sister. You're not his favorite, and she is less of a favorite than you are. You're all just equally as important to him. So we need to see that true humility is centered in the same kind of humility that Jesus had. He recognized his relationship to his Father, that his power and his wisdom came from his Father as it comes to us from the Father through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. We need to recognize that we are empowered, we are anointed, and we matter, but we matter just as much as the next person. So recognize when the enemy is tricking you into experiencing shame and putting yourself down instead of humility, which means you see that you are living for Jesus because of the empowering of Jesus, and you're here to glorify him. Shame holds us back and holds us down and keeps us from moving forward, whereas conviction that comes from God will help us move forward by getting us to make a correction. So there's a difference between conviction and shame, or the enemy's version of guilt.
You're listening to God in the Ordinary with me, Sharon Tedford, and my guest, Tina Yeager. Tina, would you tell us about your most recent book and how that can give us new insights on how we can share the truth of Jesus with others?
I wanted to help resolve the issue after the pandemic of people feeling extremely broken and hurt, and they were going through all sorts of mental health issues and struggles, and yet not gathering back together again. Even after we were allowed to get into our communities once again, people weren't. And it was breaking my heart to see that as a therapist and as an author. And I was walking with God in the park and asking him, what can I do? He was bringing to mind all of these beautiful antiques that I love to look at in the antique malls, where artisans have taken junk, basically vintage items and junk, and upcycled them into something amazing and glorious that you can use in your home. I realized that God was telling me he does that with our lives, with our souls. He upcycles us into something better than we were to begin with and more than we ever imagined. And that is a piece that you can use in your groups that you gather together with to really discuss that healing of brokenness and how God still can use you, no matter how chippy or worn you might feel, or burned out or overwhelmed you might be right now. God can still upcycle your life and make you more beautiful and useful and fulfilled than you ever were before. And taking these chapters and the crafts in each chapter to become a mission project is an opportunity for groups, for families that are homeschooling, for charitable organizations to come together around a project when they might not be motivated to gather. People will gather around an activity. They will bond during this playtime together of making the craft, and then pay forward that message of upcycling a life, of upcycling us in our broken moments of life to those who need it most, to shelters, to foster homes, to orphanages, to college ministries, to homeless ministries, to places where people feel the most broken and most need to hear that message.
I really love that idea of gathering together to make something to give away. I've not heard that before. Could you give us an example of maybe a couple of crafts that you've written about in your book, Upcycled, about that?
The first project is a mosaic mirror, and I love this one because it takes pieces that are broken and it fits them together around something that can share your reflection as part of God's beautiful mosaic gospel message to the world. So that is the first chapter. It's on mosaic, how God uses the broken. He uses us in our brokenness, and he uses all of us together in our broken states to tell that story, like mosaics did on the ancient cathedral walls when people could not read the gospel message. They were reading the story of all the broken pieces fitting together to share the story of Jesus' redemption.
That sounds like a really fun thing to do, and so easy for everybody to just go along, find a plate that you've finished with, smash it up, which is also fun, I'm sure, as a part of the activity, and then build it into a mirror and then share it with other people. I just love the idea that we can do that together. So if you're one of those people who is a bit nervous about speaking out about your faith, this would be a great place to start, because you can actually share what you've done. You can use your hands to gift the truth of Jesus to others. So talking about sharing our gifts, how does giving and sharing various things in our lives help us to reveal God to others? As we do that, are there any benefits for us?
Well, people will believe the word by the power of our testimony, Scripture says. So that is the best way to share what God can do for someone else, by sharing what he has done for you. People will believe that more than they'll believe a passage that you read out of Scripture about someone that died 1,000 years ago or more. So that is something that is tantamount to the evangelistic power of our lives. When we share from our hearts, from our life experiences, that is the most powerful way to do that.
But sometimes we work so hard to try and hide our imperfections from others, don't we? Because we don't want them to see that. Do you think God can actually use those for his glory?
Absolutely. He did it all through Scripture, and he's still doing it today. There are so many testimonies, as you know, as a podcast host, of people who, because of their brokenness, God took that place in their lives and made that mess into his masterpiece, as I call it. He takes the hardest things in our lives and he makes that into our message. What the enemy meant for evil, God uses for good, just as in the story with Joseph, all the things that he went through because Joseph allowed God to transform those moments, those difficult experiences into something God could use. It grew his character and helped him to be positioned in a place where he could minister to those who needed it.
So that's basically just another way of God upcycling, using our imperfections for his glory. As you say that, that's what's happening there. Tina, I know that it's important to you. You share often about having a healthy mind and having healthy mind habits, which is a phrase that I really love. Not just a healthy mind now, but healthy mind habits that go on and on. So how can we use our own healthy mind habits to impact the lives of others? Is that important before I share the gospel?
Well, you can't give what you don't have. So if you don't have grace that you're receiving for yourself, it's very difficult to share grace with other people, and it will affect how you see others and how you interact with others if you're not receiving God's love for yourself. Often we act as our own worst enemy, and we call ourselves names, and we have negative thought habits where we're constantly looking at the worst that could happen, or fearful thoughts. If we can recognize the negative thought habits that limit our potential in Christ, that hold us back from fulfilling his purpose, that keep us in fear instead of faith, if you write those out and look at what scripture really says in contradiction to that, to bash that out, to replace that negative thought. You can't just take a thought out. You have to replace it with a truth. So replacing the negative automatic thoughts that you might have with a true thought from God's character, from scripture, making sure that you keep those habits of catching like a moth eating your good clothes in your closet. Go in there and catch that negative thought as soon as it gets in there and get it out. You can replace your moths with butterflies, things that pollinate, things that create life in you. And then when you're filled with that life-giving mindset, you can then share a life-giving mindset with someone else. But you can't share what you don't have.
Oh my goodness, another beautiful picture. I am actually sitting in my closet as we record here. That thought of a moth versus a butterfly. Butterfly pollinates, but a moth destroys. So people are listening now and they're thinking, I'd really like to talk to Tina. She might be able to help me. How can we find you?
All of my life coaching, speaking, and podcasting information is available at tinayager.com. And that's YEAGER.
Thank you. And the name of your podcast and radio show?
The podcast is Flourish Meant, and that's flourish-meant, so you can live as you were meant to and flourish. And my radio show is on Christian Mix 106 on Thursdays, and that is at christianmix106.com. And the name of that show is Flourish Today.
And the good thing is, no matter where you live in the world, you can get to Tina's radio show online, so you don't have to be local. Tina, before I let you go, you said something in your reflection at the beginning that I thought was a beautiful thing to dig into. You said, I must share the truth. Now, there may be people listening today who feel the same but have no clue what the first step to that is, or the first six steps. How do we share the truth in our everyday lives?
Well, first you need to look at who is in front of you that needs to hear the truth. God is going to call you to the people right in front of you first and allow you to have an opportunity to share with them. So that would be the first thing. Who is God calling me to reach? And pray about that. Pray for the Holy Spirit to lead you on the way to share hope and truth with someone who needs it right in front of you. You may also be called to a ministry, and that doesn't necessarily mean the same thing for everybody. It could be a book. It could be just volunteering at your local church. It could be ministry to people in your family. But God calls us all to share the gospel in some way or another. And you'll be called according to your giftings, according to the passions that the Lord puts in your heart, and according to the people who are most likely to hear the truth from a vessel that was crafted, sculpted, just to be that vessel for that person to hear from. So no other vessel is going to be just like you. And there are people that are waiting to hear that truth that will hear it only from a vessel just like you.
That's such a great point, Tina. Thank you. We just need to reach out to the people who God puts in front of us. That's a really good place for us to leave. Thank you so much for joining us here on God in the Ordinary. I've loved talking with you, and I hope that everyone listening feels really encouraged to just be the vessel that God's called us to be. Thank you, Tina.
Thank you, Sharon. It's been a delight and an honor to share with you today.
You've been listening to God in the Ordinary with my guest, author, speaker, and podcast host, Tina Yeager, and me, Sharon Tedford. You can get in touch with her and receive a free gift at tinayeager.com. That's Y-E-A-G-E-R.
For more information and show notes, go to 61-things.com. Producer is Gary Dell, and God in the Ordinary is a Wise Word Radio 61 Things co-production.